Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you and good evening, everybody. It's great to be here. We had an awesome time this morning having the same word. So if you were here this morning, you're welcome to leave now because you're going to get the same word. So you'll see the title slide. I Googled cute sheep with big ears, and that's the one that came up. So what you don't know is it's really just a photo of you. So we'll see as time goes on. So many of you who are in our small groups will know that we've been going through a course over the last 5 weeks or the last 4 weeks. This week on Wednesday, we'll actually be finishing the course. And it really, in its simplest form, really is nothing more than a engagement with the Word of God, not as an academic book, or not as something that you would study to get the answers to life, or something that you would memorize, or something, you know, a book that you would just get there to gain knowledge. The whole point of the last 4 weeks for us has been to engage personally and intimately with the very Word of God, which is Jesus Christ. That's the point. We want everybody, including, you know, the eldership. I've been part of this church since 1997, so that's 26 years. It's been a long time. And somehow you engage the Bible sometimes in an academic fashion. And we don't believe that that's the way it should be. It's the literal living word of the Creator God. The word is Jesus, and that's the whole point. So the Lectio Divina series really talks about four things. So if you're not familiar with it, it really talks about reading the Word and reverently reading the Word so that it would be something which is, read it as if it is the true Word of God, which it is. The second thing would be a thoughtful consideration. Ross gave a great sermon on ruminating or herko. So chewing on the Word and really engaging with the Word. Some people would call that thoughtful consideration meditation. The third step would be praying the Word of God. So taking whatever is in the Scripture and actually praying it. Whatever the Lord prompts you to pray it. Sometimes it's, Lord, I have no idea what this text means. Help me to understand it. That's fine. Or it may be that the Scripture actually brings you to a point where you feel you're wanting to pray that Scripture to become a reality within your life. Or perhaps it is to pray for somebody who's in need. Or if we look at the James 1 verse 27, which speaks about orphans and widows, to say, Lord, how would you, you know, I have a burden for people who are fatherless, for example. Tonight we're going to speak very briefly, I hope, on waiting on Him. Which is often referred to as contemplation. But essentially, it's really simple. And hopefully we'll be able to just debunk a little bit of perhaps what contemplation really means. So this week, those of you who are in small groups with us, we'll go through video 5 of the Lectio Life Group series. I have to be honest that I went through the video, and it's a pity that it's quite a vague video. I don't think it really gets down to what it... He doesn't actually say what contemplation is. So it can be a bit confusing. So, but never fear, because you guys are here, so you're going to hear what needs to be said. And then hopefully the video will really just add some meat onto what I've been saying. So essentially, contemplation in this context means listening to God's voice in silence. That's it. There's nothing spooky about this. It's really just calming yourself, stilling your mind, and listening to the voice of God. It actually requires you to do absolutely nothing. So, it sounds easy, but this is probably the most difficult thing for us to do in our modern cultures. We don't really silence ourselves. It's probably the hardest step in this relatively easy process, silencing ourselves and listening to God's voice. And the reason is silence is rare. Let's be honest. There's the saying, which is as old as the hill, silence is golden, because it's rare, it's difficult to find. So silence is not something that we as a modern society are very used to. And can I say that probably, and you'll hear in a moment why I believe this is probably one of the most important steps, and yet it's the one which we do the least, or we skip. We often skip through it. We read our Bible, we say our prayers, and off we go, without taking time really just to settle down a little bit. Now prayer, most people, so my wife is a prayer warrior, so you know, compared to her, I pray very little. But the reality is that Bar Karin, many people struggle with prayer. It's not something that is easy. We struggle with it. And don't feel alone, because the disciples came to Jesus and they asked him, teach us to pray. So if you struggle with prayer, you're in good company. Even the disciples were grappling with this concept of, how do I have conversation or a discussion, or how do I even talk to God the Father? We struggle with it. And I've mentioned the word prayer is often described as a conversation with God. So why do we struggle? Many people have said to me, Dale, it feels as though I'm praying against the ceiling. Or I feel as though God isn't hearing me. Or I feel as if my prayers aren't being answered. It's like a one-way conversation. And this is probably the reason why most people struggle with prayer, is because they experience prayer as being unidirectional, from me to God, and that's it. But you'll see that one-way conversation, I've put the word up there, it's an oxymoron. Now, oxymoron, for those of you who don't know, is a contradiction, an apparent contradiction, like postal service, okay? The two words don't fit together. So one-way conversation is an oxymoron. Why do I say this? Well, if you look at the root of the word, conversation comes from some Latin word of conversari. If you know music, you will know that con means with. So with energy or with movement, con moto. If you were to play a musical piece, you will play it. Con moto means with movement, I believe. So con means with, and versari means turns. So conversation in its very meaning means that you are taking turns, or it's something that is done in taking turns. You must feel that there's some form of cycle, there's some form of motion, there's movement. Prayer and conversation with God cannot be unidirectional, and I'll explain that in a second, in case you're wondering or thinking that I'm talking nonsense. Conversation speaks of alternating conversation and alternating communication. If you ever have to go through marriage counseling, and most who are married at some stage, you're going to have some counseling done, and this is a useful tool. I put the little pencil there. So some traditional marriage counselors will say, okay, husband, you take the pencil. Wife, remain silent. The husband may speak freely as long and as much as he likes. You may not say a word until the husband then hands over the pencil to the wife, which is generally a mistake. Then the wife will take the pencil, and then the husband remains silent while the wife has her say, and you are not allowed to say anything. And when she's done, when she feels ready, she will give the pencil back to you, and then you are allowed to respond. It's actually quite a powerful tool, so that you can listen whilst you are being silent, and you can talk so that the other person is able to hear you. So that's where the pencil comes in. Remember it one day when you have to go through that ordeal. Prayer conversations that are one direction are never sustainable. If you think about, I was driving the other day through Welgemut, there where the karate club and the squash courts is, and I was speaking to Ross on a WhatsApp call. And in that little dip, if you've ever driven through there on a WhatsApp call with a hands-free kit, you will know that the signal drops. So after a while, I spoke to Ross and he gave me some deep, profound answer which I was not able to hear. So what happens in that situation? You say, well, I can't hear Ross. What will you do? You'll end the call. Because even although Ross is speaking, I can't hear him, and I can speak as much as I like. It's going nowhere. So unidirectional conversation always ends. And if your prayer is unidirectional one way, your flesh is going to start to get weak. It has to be a bidirectional conversation. And you'll see why that is biblical, because there are so many texts of where God speaks clearly to his people. So if you're frustrated with prayer and you think kind of, man, this has been one way all the time, then this sermon is for you. This is a quote from Morton Hunt, which says, babies who are born deaf make just as many noises as babies who can hear. But sadly, their attempts at speech soon trail off when they fail to hear the spoken words of their parents. And this is something which really is so sad somehow. You kind of think, wow, that is just a sad thing, that a baby would stop speaking when they fail to hear the words of their parents because they're not being stimulated by conversation. We are created for relationship. It's why God created us, is not so that we would be alone on earth. God's whole intention in creating you and me is to have a relationship with you. So if you are doubting whether God wants to speak to you, think of why you are on this earth. It is so that Jesus and the Father can have a relationship with you. You must hear God in the myriad of ways that he speaks to you. It is absolutely essential. Another quote that I saw was, just as a child learns to speak as parents speak to him or her, so we learn to speak to God and have conversation because he has spoken to and speaks to us. It's profound. So why has the eldership of this congregation decided that this is an important tool for us to go through? And it just happens to be a tool. There are many ways of fostering and how do we hear the voice of God. We happen to have chosen this one. It's a basic tool to help you improve your intimacy with Jesus and the Father so that you can hear his voice. That's bottom line. It's nothing more, nothing less. So God desires to speak with you. God desires to speak with you. It's not just the dominee or the pastor that the Lord is going to speak to. God desires to speak with each and every one of his children. Every one of them. John 10 says, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. Have you ever thought of how a sheep follows a shepherd? If the shepherd says nothing, the sheep will merrily begin grazing and do nothing. The shepherd actually needs to prod them along and call them, and they recognize his voice and therefore they follow. He also happens to have a rod and a staff. So some of us have encountered the rod and the staff as well. You know, just a little bit of a nudge in the right direction. But this is a scripture which you perhaps need to go and meditate on. That hearing the voice of God and being one of his sheep are one and the same thing. We are made to hear the voice of God. And it is something that we need to pursue. If you're his follower, you can hear his voice. So just moving to some other little thoughts that I had while I was preparing. 1 Thessalonians says that we need to pray without ceasing. Now, if you meditate on that, you don't actually have to meditate on it. You just have to think about it. It says that we are, as Christians or as children of God, meant to be praying continuously. There's no other way to look at that scripture. It means continuous. look at the other places, and I've only highlighted a few of them. In the New Testament, in Luke chapter 18, he says, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. There's no scripture which says that you're only meant to have your quiet time at that time, and that's the time when I speak to God, and then it stops and I move on with my day. God has a desire to speak to us and we to him all the time. Now, those of you who know me well will know that I often bring in one of my favorite artists into my sermons. It's always there. Today is no exception. So one of the gospel artists, Stephen Curtis Chapman, wrote a song called Let Us Pray. And he says in the song, and I'm going to unfortunately refer to him three times in the sermon, but he says, just because you say the words amen, it doesn't mean the conversation needs to end. So often we say amen and that's done and off we go. Do you know that amen does not mean, okay, I'm done now, Lord? It says, let it be so. Hey, that's what amen means. It's not, all right, I'm done. We're all waiting, you know. When's he going to say amen, you know, so we can get this done with? But it doesn't mean the conversation between God and us needs to finish. Pray without ceasing, without stopping. Ephesians is another one. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Wow. So that means if we are taking the Word of God as the truly inspired Word of God, it means that all the time there needs to be conversation happening. If it's one direction, we're in trouble because we're not going to get anything else done, to be honest. At some stage, there needs to be conversation back to us as we are going about our daily walk, even as we are sitting here, or if we are at work, or wherever we find ourselves, that there would be conversation happening. So if we look at Jesus, and Jesus is the firstborn of many brethren. I think most of you know the scripture that Jesus is in fact an example for how we should be engaging in life and also engaging with the Father God. Jesus prayed for many hours. You'll see it countless times in the New Testament. Jesus separates himself from the crowds. And he goes off on his own into a quiet place so that he can have communion with the Father. And he prayed literally for hours and hours on end. I'm thinking of the one example which comes to mind when Jesus was in the garden and he called his disciples to him and said, please watch and pray with me. And he went off a little bit to pray. And the disciples, I mean, it took so long and it was that time of the night that they fell asleep. And he came back to them and he said, aren't you able to just even stay awake? And they said, but Lord, you're praying so long. And he would go back. And probably that entire night, Jesus was in conversation with his Father. And that's the model that we have. Yet we put our prayer life into this little box sometimes, and we tick it, and we're done for the day, and we go off. Whereas that's not what the Bible says. Our communion and our conversation with God is meant to be. John 12 says, for I have not spoken, this is Jesus speaking, on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. He gave me a command. He said something to me which I obey implicitly. Jesus heard the Father. He definitely heard the Father speaking. If we go back to the garden where Jesus is on the night that he was betrayed, he wrestles with the Father and says, Father God, if this cup can pass from me, in other words, is there not an easier way to do this? Because I'm in anguish. The Bible says that Jesus sweated blood. He was in anguish and he was speaking to God the Father. Then he says, nevertheless, not my will be done, but your will be done. And then Jesus goes through the most excruciating, humiliating, degrading death of the time and of all time. Do you think Jesus heard from God? This is something you need to go through with. Of course he did. Otherwise he would not have gone through with it. He wrestled with God and got an answer. And for the prize set before him, he endured the cross so that you and I can have access to the Father. What are we doing with that access that Jesus paid such a huge price for? Matthew 3:17, I love the scripture. I've been reading a book called Ancient Paths, which speaks about blessing and cursing, and specifically the role that parents play in blessing and cursing their children. And Jesus received this blessing from the Father. You guys know the story. He comes down to the river where John the Baptist is baptizing, and John first fights with him a little bit and says, you should be baptizing me. And Jesus insists, no, you need to baptize me. And as Jesus comes out of the water, the Spirit of God descends in the form of a dove, and Jesus, and probably those around here, the Father affirming his Son, and he says, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus heard those words. How do we know this? Because it's from that time when Jesus' identity is established through the blessing and affirmation from the Father, which springboards his whole ministry. If I'm not mistaken, it's just after that that Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness and he is tempted by the devil and he's able to bat him with the word of God. And Jesus' ministry starts. Why? His ministry starts after he has heard from the Father. It is so pivotal in Jesus' life. We as the congregation and the kingdom of God and children of God and sheep need to be able to hear the shepherd. We have to pursue his voice. I hope everyone's still with me. You guys there? All right, good. So the question is do you hear God? Do we hear God? And you know, I often, over many years of being in the church, have been exposed to a kind of Christianese. You know, we've got some weird things that we say. And probably most of us in the last week or so, maybe even today, have used the phrases, I believe God said, I feel the Lord said, especially when it comes to big decisions. Now, I believe the Lord said, no, we've prayed about this, and I believe the Lord said. But independently, if you were to ask Christians on a survey, for example, most will admit that they struggle to hear the voice of God. Or they have a desire to hear the voice of God more. Yet we very casually throw out this little catchphrase, yeah, I believe the Lord said, I believe the Lord said. Do we really hear the Lord? It's something we need to think about. Now, I have to admit that often when I say I believe the Lord said, I haven't taken the time to quieten myself and to listen to the voice of God. I have to admit that often when I say I believe the Lord said, I've not even done the effort to physically pray about that situation. And I know I'm not alone in that. We often go just on a feeling that we have. But we haven't taken the time to slow down and firstly pray about it, and secondly, wait on the Lord to hear his voice. And I'm not talking about an audible voice. I've never heard the audible voice of God, but I've certainly received a deposit in my heart for those times when I have stood still and allowed the Lord to speak to me. One of them was the adoption of our little girl. And she's almost turning 7 now. Abigail's been with us since 4 months of age. What a big decision it was to make. And when my wife came to me and said, she believes this is something we need to do, I was like, I don't know, man. 4 kids, are you sure? What kind of car do you need with 4 kids? You know, when the 7-seater is too small, we have that problem. What do you get after that? A busy, yeah? It's horrible. But you know what? When God speaks and he affirms something and he says, this is something that I believe you as a family should do. What a blessing. There's not a moment that goes by that I don't celebrate that decision. But standing still and listening to God's voice is something that we need to cultivate. Otherwise, out of a position of fear, you may never receive what God has predestined and prepared for you. Because it was scary. But we need to hear the voice of the Lord. Are we really making an effort to hear God? Hearing God is essential, absolutely essential in the life of a believer. This may be pricking a little bit at your religious spirit, if I can say this. But we are not serving a dead God. We are serving a living God who is the creator of the universe, whose heart is turned towards you. The Bible actually says that God is dancing over you. That's not figuratively speaking. So when we say, I heard the Lord, hear from him. Pursue his voice. Listen to him. Revelation 3 verse 20. If you read this and you actually read it, you'll see that it says, behold. I mentioned it this morning. Behold is Ross's voice for 20. It's his word for 2023. Behold. Behold. See. Look. I stand at the door. This is Jesus. And knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine, and he with me. How many of us, as he dear klokkie, sabatarai pap? What a frustration. Come to someone's home, press the doorbell. The people are inside and they've got no idea that there's someone knocking at the door because they cannot hear. I remember Daniel went to small group a couple of weeks ago and got to the front door and there was no ways for him to get in, so he had to go home. You know, didn't have his phone with him, didn't have airtime, there was just no communication. Jesus is standing at the door and it says, if you hear me and you let me in, if you can't hear the knock, you're in trouble. It's so pivotal. Jeremiah 33 verse 3, this is one of my favorite scriptures, easy to remember as well. It says, call to me. And I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. In my final year of medicine, this was in 2001, I was walking across the lawn at Tigerberg, just behind the men's hostel Hippocrates. I was off to my final year internal medicine exams. It's a scary moment. And this scripture drops into my spirit. Amen. He says, I will show you and tell you great and mighty things that you do not know. It's the perfect scripture before an exam. The point here is that Jesus will answer you if you call on him. And we need to press in and answer the door when he knocks. So contemplation or listening is nothing fuzzy or funny. It's really just creating space. We sang it tonight, I will make room for you. Are you making room for God to listen to him? Or are we just going about our day? Listening to the voice of God. That's contemplation, is listening to the voice of God. And the question is this easy? So check the next slide. You guys can read that. So I don't know about you, but that's a real post that I got on social media. And I'm sorry for the mental images in some of our minds that has just been conjured up. But the truth is that very often our minds are very, very full of stuff. And just like randomly, these things pop up into your head and you're thinking, where did that come from? So it's not easy because there are so many voices that are coming to us. Sorry, Danny. Another thing about creating silence is not emptying your mind. And there's a quote from the Lego movie. I love the Lego movie. So in Lego movie, Emmett is the main character, for those of you who haven't seen it. And they venture into the mind of Emmett. Because if you're going to become a master builder, you need to be able to empty out your mind. And they get into Emmett's mind. And the chap with the staff, with the long beard, he says, and he looks around, and there's vast nothingness. And he says, not to worry. Your mind is so prodigiously empty that there's nothing to clear away in the first place. So you may be a master builder. That's just for free. I just like the quote. But quieting yourself in the Lord is not emptying your mind in a weird, can we say, Eastern spirituality meditation nonsense. This is a place where you intently focus on God so that you are able to hear His voice. We sang it tonight as well, and it just dropped into my spirit in the last song. Somebody needs to feel the embrace of God. It's in that space, in that quiet space that you're spending at the very feet of Jesus, where you experience the embrace of God. If that's what you're longing for, go to God for it. So that was just to wake you up. How can we focus in silence of God if you kept getting the Shakira's coming into your mind, the mental images of that as well, sorry. It is very, very difficult in our modern culture. So how do we do this? And the good news is that most of us have actually done this without us perhaps even knowing it. If you look at praise and worship, what we did here this evening and which we do every Sunday without fail, is we sing songs. We use music as a medium to sing scripture. In fact, we should not be singing anything other than scripture, in my opinion. Sing scripture, biblical words. If it's not biblical, we should not be singing it. I don't care how good the guitar riff or the drum roll is. We need to be singing scripture. What then happens is the Holy Spirit impresses something of the song into our hearts, and we tend to repeat things. Why do we sing the chorus four times? Have you ever thought about that? Why do we do it? It really is a form of meditation or contemplation. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will drop into our spirit a certain phrase. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. We sang it many times this evening. That is really a contemplative or a thoughtful consideration of who this God is. It's nothing more than that. And then this evening, we were encouraged to sing a new song to the Lord. And what comes out of your mouth is, in fact, a prayer to God. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me, setting me free. Thank you that you set my feet upon a rock and you put a new song in my mouth. It's a prayer. It just happens to have a little bit of music so that it feels less weird. Have you ever wondered what music is? I really believe that God put music there so that we have a medium for where we can worship God corporately together without it being awkward. We can all do pottery together. It's fine. It's just going to be messy, and practically it doesn't work. We can fill a stadium with 100,000 people. We can all focus on God at exactly the same time. Focus on Him. Singing scripture, contemplating, or at least thoughtfully considering who He is, and, you know, ruminating on it. That's a good word. Ruminating on it. And then prayerfully responding in spontaneous worship. And often then what happens, if we are in a sweet space, if I can call it that, is often the music stops. And everybody knows the silent place. Can we say it's holy? It's separated from the other silent spaces. Because we've primed our minds and quietened them to get all the other thoughts out the way. We've prepped our minds and our spirits and our bodies to be in a place where silence can be devoted to the Savior. And it's not funny at all. It's just something that we use music for every time. 2 or 3 weeks ago, we had such a sweet space where it was just like, oh wow, I don't think we need to move or do anything. I hope nobody starts saying something because it's going to spoil this sweet space. And that's what we do on a weekly basis in church. This is a special place. It's created through specific preparation to help me focus on Him because my mind, Lord, is scattered, completely scattered. I need some help to focus for the silent space. Otherwise, other words are going to come in all the time. Where I can be still and quiet just to enjoy His presence. It's where I'm able to listen to Him. These moments, as I say, are the sweet moments in worship. We long for them. We yearn for them. If you have that silent moment, you know something has shifted. That Jesus is here. It's the place of communion. It's the place of intimacy. And if you want to use like an Old Testament word, it's the place of tabernacle. Tabernacle speaks of being interwoven with God. It's like a ball of wool that is interwoven, God and you. The intimacy it describes the unity between a man and a woman in marriage. It's that sweet spot, that intimate place. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Let's do that in a physical sense. And when He does, I use the word magnificent. And it doesn't only have to be reserved for those worship spaces. God is amazing. He draws near to us in other times as well. God doesn't only speak to us in the silence. Amen? Sometimes He comes through a burning bush. Sometimes He speaks through a donkey. Sometimes He's going to speak to your small group leader. Sometimes He's going to speak to you through a friend. Sometimes He may speak to you through an unbeliever. God can use any method. So what I'm talking about tonight is not the be-all and end-all of hearing God's voice, but it is a very effective way of taking the scripture, just thoughtfully considering it, praying it, and then remaining still so that you can cultivate His voice and hear His voice. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. You ever thought of that? David says, one day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I've always thought of that scripture as being pretty weird. Really? I don't know. And then I realize that when we are at the feet of Jesus, that place where you can stay forever, to say, Lord, this is the place. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Same kind of connotation. Both of those scriptures, I think, have got, you know, wider connotations and applications. But I think in this context, they make sense. So this is to help you to create a place of silence. When we're worshiping, we sing scripture, we repeat phrases, we sing a new song to the Lord, we spend time in silence. Can I say this is not gospel? It doesn't have to be in this order. They don't all have to be there. It's not as though we're preaching this as being, this is how it should be. It's a useful tool to allow you to focus, to get the world out of your mind so that you can focus on Christ. If you're engaging with the Word of God and you're wanting to meet with Jesus, who is the very Word, read it reverently. Look for that phrase, Holy Spirit, won't you highlight something here? Something stands out. Repeat it. Meditate on it. Pray it to God and then say, Lord, what am I meant to do with this? And then allow Him to answer you. Stephen Curtis Chapman, number two, speechless. Some of you guys need to go and Google this guy. He has won the most Grammys and the most Dove Awards out of any gospel artist of all time, by a long shot. He is awesome. Right, Speechless is one of his albums and one of the great songs, great song to listen to. Listen to the first verse as he reflects on what it means to be overpowered by the very majesty of who God is. He says, words fall, my words, being Stephen, my words fall like drops of rain. My lips are like clouds. I say so many things, trying to figure you out. But as mercy opens my eyes, my words are stolen away with this breathtaking view of your grace. And I'm speechless. I'm astonished and amazed. I'm silenced by your wondrous grace. You have saved me. You have saved me from the grave. And I'm speechless in your presence now. I'm astounded as I consider how you have shown us a love that leaves us speechless. Two key scriptures, 1 Kings 19 verse 12, are probably the ones which you would know the most when it comes to being still in the presence of God. This is when Elijah has just witnessed arguably the biggest moment in his life. So you'll remember the prophets of Baal are all there and they are shouting and screaming and calling out to Baal. And Elijah's like, well, where is your God? Is he taking a rest break? Is he, you know, is he in the bathroom? Literally, he says that. And they get more angry because Elijah's mocking their God and nothing happens. And Elijah prays to the one true God and fire descends from heaven and consumes the altar, the stones, the water, everything around it. And then after that event, he gets scared because he is threatened by the queen and he runs for his life and he's found then by the Lord cowering away in the caves. And God says to him, the Lord passed by and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks into pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still small voice. Psalm 46 is the other big scripture which doesn't need much explanation. It says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. It's very important to note the scripture. Being still is not enough. You need to be still, and then there's a knowledge of the I am, that he is God. Be still and know that he is God. And that revelation allows the Lord to be exalted among the nations, and he will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that he is God. So we need to create silent spaces. We sang the song, let's make room for him. I don't see how we can make that figuratively. You've got to make space for God to speak to you, to actively listen to him. And I want to say this, use the Bible as your foundation. I love what the gentleman in the video said this past week, where he said that he uses the Bible as his boundaries. It's the safe space. It's the way we live our life. It's where we are able to safely be. If you're afraid of meditating, meditate on the Word of God. It's a safe thing to do. Don't meditate on other stuff. Use the Bible as your foundation for everything in your life. Why? Because you get to know God's words. You get to know Him. You get to know God's character. So that when he speaks to you, there is no doubt in your mind who's speaking to you, because you will recognize him because you've spent time in the Word. Without the Word of God, it's going to be very difficult to discern the still small voice in your heart. You'll be able to recognize him and his voice as you're spending time in Scripture. There's no shortcuts here. I have to tell a story which I told this morning as well. Towards the end of the 80s, 89, 90, I was at primary school and we had a youth leader in Stellenbosch. I was in the Presbyterian church, but there was a more awesome youth group at the St. Paul's, which was a church near the McDonald's. So just behind it, there's a little, quite a beautiful church that sits there. On the corner, and we had a youth group on a Friday night. Now, this was 1989, 1990, so that is a long time ago. 33 years, am I right? It's a long time ago. It's even more than that. It's more. And over the last couple of weeks, I've been thinking, the person who was our youth group leader was a gentleman named Kenny. And I just was reflecting as I was also reading this book on blessing and so on, and just realized that this was someone who affirmed me, who blessed me, who sacrificed his Friday nights to give up to spend time with boys and girls like me. And I thought, you know what, I don't think I've ever thanked this guy for the importation into my life. So I Googled him and looked for him, and I just couldn't find him over the last couple of weeks. Every now and again, I'll Google him, can't find him. I mean, how many Kenny Lloyds are there in the world? Literally, it's 34, 35 years ago. He's probably looking very different. And Thursday morning, I found him. And he's a pastor in Port Elizabeth. And I contacted them via their website. They said, I'm not sure if this is the right guy, but if he was at Jesus' Young People of Stellenbosch, Gyps, they called it, I'd really like to make contact. And he phoned me, because I left my number, he phoned me, and immediately I recognized his voice. It was really such a sublime moment. Kenny had a very, very hoarse voice, kind of a big guy, and his voice was kind of high and very hoarse and strained, and his voice hasn't changed. Recognition after 35 years. The Word of God is like that. You will recognize His voice if you have spent time in His Word. It's going to be very difficult outside of that. And, you know, I was able to tell him just thank you for all the impartation over that period of time. So you'll be able to discern God's voice amongst all others. Another song by Casting Crowns. Some of you may know them. Voice of Truth. Out of all the voices, the last scripture there, out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Because believe me, there are many, many voices that are calling out to you. It's your own flesh. There's expectations. There's all sorts of things. How do we listen to the voice of truth? You need to be in the Word. No shortcut, I'm afraid. So you guys have got like 3 songs already to go and Google. You can Google that more than once. Discerning His voice. If we are familiar with His voice in the inner room, we'll more easily discern Him in everyday life. Now, Ross gave a sermon last week. If you missed it, please go and listen to it on Daniel 9 and Daniel 10. Daniel, who was in exile in Babylon, was reflecting on the scriptures, and he saw a prophecy which said the exile will be 80 years. And he's like, hang on a moment, 80 years has come, the exile is done. And then he receives visions from the Lord which come to encourage him. In chapter 10, I actually think chapter 10 may have happened chronologically before that time. I'm not sure. I'll have to check up on my dates there. But you find Daniel, who is mourning at a specific time. It says in Daniel chapter 10, and this is verse 2 to 4, at that time I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. He was mourning the fact that they were not in their home country. He says, I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions Now here I just want to pause. Men, Daniel usually used lotions. It's okay to look after yourself, all right? Nee, daai skurwe hakke wat jy het, sit 'n roompie op, nee? Your nagroompie, let's look after ourselves. Now, this is the NIV translation. I just thought it was cute. It referred more to oils and that type of thing, but I think you get the point. So at all, until 3 weeks were over, on the 24th day of the fourth month, I was standing on the bank of the great river Tigris. Most of us, when we are standing next to the river, we are taking selfies or we are on our phones. If you are at the queue in Home Affairs, the ideal opportunity to hear the voice of God, but most of us are on our phone. What if there's someone standing next to you actually needs an encouraging word? But we are engaged in other things. I'm not bashing cell phones, but are we creating the space where God can actually speak into our lives? I was so encouraged by Danny's story where she said that she'd received some Bibles for Urban and was on the way to Urban, and she felt the Lord speak to her about giving a Bible to someone she'd passed by. And perhaps I'm telling your story a little bit differently. And then she said, no, Lord, these Bibles are for Urban, you know. And the Lord then clearly spoke to her and said, no, you need to give the Bible to that guy. Oh, man, we're not going to have enough for Urban. turns her car around in obedience, and comes back and gives the Bible to the gentleman. It happened to be his birthday. Now, I wonder if Danny had not been obedient to the prompting of the Holy Spirit in her heart, and she had just dismissively gone on, this gentleman would not have received the greatest gift of all on his birthday. Isn't that profound? Are we allowing God to speak to us? And this is where that ceaseless praise and ceaseless praying comes in. Are we walking in the Spirit, able to discern His voice, even when you're standing at the kettle at work? We've got a kettle that takes 4 minutes to boil. And invariably, you'll come to the kettle and you'd say, oh, wait, I haven't got my cell phone. I do it because I go back because I've got to stand there and scroll through Instagram or Facebook or whatever it is that's your fix, your drug of choice, hey? Instead of perhaps saying, looking around the kitchen and seeing one of your co-workers and the Lord impresses something on your heart, are we listening for God in those moments? Because it could be that word which changes someone's life forever. And perhaps we miss it and we move on. Are we listening to the voice of God? So you'll see that Daniel, in the next slide, he says that while he was being spoken to, he bowed with his face towards the ground and was speechless. He quietened himself to hear what was being said to him. What was being said was, do not be afraid, you who are highly esteemed. Peace, be strong now, be strong. He needed to be silent to hear. Daniel had to become silent and he had to listen. I almost get the idea that, and you know, I'm perhaps being a bit presumptuous here, but you know those people who speak too much in your small group? No, I'm just joking. There's always that person who says a little bit too much, and you're kind of like, you know what, are you done yet? Can I say something now? We don't say it. We all too, yeah. I wonder if sometimes God is not patiently waiting for us and saying, are you done yet? Because I want to speak to you. I'd love to see Daniel's vision. But am I speaking so much that I'm not allowing myself to listen in this two-way conversation? I'm excited about what God has spoken to me about. Now, let's end off this. I'm going to land this plane, to use Tian's word. Once he has spoken, it's very important that this is not something that we are only pursuing for the warm, fuzzy feeling for in ourselves. Because God's word is not just something which is there for you. There should be some change within you which you can take, in other words, an action into the world or into your life for His glory and for the furtherment of the kingdom. Now, this is not to put a burden on you to do stuff for God. But the Word of God needs to have some form of change in your life. If God says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, there needs to be a change. There needs to be a movement in terms of our understanding of who God is. But it's not that we are there just, I'm experiencing this and then it's all for me. The whole point is that we need to action the Word of God. And I'll just illustrate that for us briefly. Lamp brings light for a purpose. If you look at Psalm 119, verse 105, you're going to see that the word, the scripture, we love quoting it. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my paths. What I have found is that often I'm using the light to look at my funky shoes, my great tackies, my sneakers. Oh man, aren't they awesome? I hold up the light and I look at the beautiful garden path, but I do not move. The whole point of the light is to point you into a direction so that you would walk in it. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Feet which are beautiful. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. You'll see that it's beautiful feet. Now, I don't know about you, but feet are not beautiful, okay? What is beautiful about the feet is that they bring good news. They proclaim peace, or at least the person to whom the feet belong. They bring good tidings, they proclaim salvation, they say to Zion, your God reigns. When I was a doctor working at Groote Schuur Hospital, I had a senior there, and we were working obviously with, quite people often from the streets, from impoverished backgrounds, hygiene is not the biggest thing. So we would often, when we are resuscitating, so that when someone's heart stopped, we do the ABCs, airway, open the airway, have a look, breathing, circulation. But he would call it the FABC, feet first. Because the feet were so smelly that we would first put a plastic bag over the feet before we start resuscitating the patient. I kid you not, feet by themselves are definitely not beautiful. But what the feet do is beautiful. Beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. That's the beautiful part. Those feet are dusty and smelly. It's just to get you guys, you're very serious tonight. So you have got a unique response to the Word of God. It's unique. It's for you. It's essential to hear from God the road that you must take in response to His Word. There's a path that you need to walk with. And your path is unique and completely different to someone else's. We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should take a step. We should walk in them. Now, the question I have for us tonight, amongst others, is are we following the generic path or are we actively listening to His Word, both written and spoken and otherwise, to the Word the donkey's given to you, to fulfill our specific God-given purpose for His glory? Now, I remember when I was in primary school as well, the wise man built his house upon the rock. You can see I think in songs. A good Sunday school song, but it misses it completely. The wise man builds his house upon the rock. But the question is, who's the wise man? And you guys know the answer already. Because it comes from Matthew 7:24. So just before it talks about the wise man who builds his house upon the rock, the wise man is he who hears the word and does them. So it doesn't help we're sitting in this fuzzy place where we've had this massive revelation of who God is. God has spoken to you and you just leave it there. And you walk away from it. It's the whole point of Lectio Divina, and actually, not just Lectio Divina, it's the whole point of engaging with Christ, that we would be changed in our inner man, and that it would flow out from us going forward. So, I want to ask us that if you're in a small group this week, like I said, the video is a little bit vague. Essentially, what it means is that you're going to, at some stage, remain quiet. Part of the course is going to prompt you to hear from the Lord what we can take into the week. Please don't fall into a work-based faith in that sense. The feel that you need to all of a sudden do something. Because many of us are going to have the religiously correct answer to give in the small group. Yeah, we must suddenly adopt a child. We must go out this evening and we must adopt a child, you know, in response to James 1 verse 27. The Lord may impress on your heart to give financially. The Lord may impress on your heart and say, you are too busy to do anything else, but do what you're doing. It may be that the Lord says, I've placed you in medical school to study. Do not think about other stuff at the moment. Get to your books. For example, that's a word for someone tonight. But be aware of the religious answer, because God speaks uniquely to each one of us. We were called to adopt. You may not be called to that specifically. Can you pray for someone who has adopted a child? Yeah. Can you perhaps give financially? Good friend of mine, he said he would so love to adopt, but it's not here. But he's going to buy us the powdered milk for as long as it takes. And every week, Toby would come with the bag of milk for us. What a blessing. And he'd heard from the Lord that this is something he can do and he can give. If he hadn't, we would have had severe financial difficulty in caring for little Abigail. So someone was listening and was able to respond uniquely. And he worked for Clicks, so he was able to talk to the suppliers and that type of thing and get some discount, that type of thing. So there was possibilities that he was able to help us with. So listen to what God is saying to you. So tonight I want to end off just with 3.5 minutes of perhaps just listening to a song. And after that, I'm going to do a prayer for us. just in terms of James 1 verse 27, that true and undefiled religion is this, that we care for the orphans and the widows. That's all. And just pray through it. And then I'm going to allow us just a few minutes of silence. And hopefully as the Spirit speaks to you, you can respond in whichever way. Maybe God drops something else into your spirit. Man, I must phone my dad. I haven't spoken to him in a while. Whatever it is that God drops into your spirit. And if you hear something way out and wacky, please talk to somebody. Get someone accountable with you and just say, this is what I heard. They can say, let's pray further about this with you. But if it sounds like Jesus phoning your dad, it's never a bad thing. What's the worst that can happen? If it sounds like Jesus, then go for it. Step out in faith. So let's have a listen to the song. It's based on one of the scriptures that we did. And then I'll pray for us. And then I'm just going to allow perhaps a few minutes just of silence for us. And then we'll end off. All right, let's listen to the song. That brings our service to a close. If there's someone who needs ministry this evening, if you feel that you'd like just someone to pray with you, agree with you on something, or any need that you have, let's bring it before the Lord. It's really my prayer for myself in this week and in the weeks to come that we will truly make space, that we will make room. I think it's so special what was sung in the song, that the noise and the clamor would cease in our lives, that we would be tuned in to God, who is the very lifeline that we need. It's not an easy practice. And if you didn't hear anything tonight, please don't feel that there's something wrong with you. It's just something you've got to get used to. That awkward silence, let's get rid of that word, awkward silences. Let's embrace the silences, and God will speak to you. Because he is true and he's faithful. So the Lord bless you. And please don't rush off. I'm sure there's some coffee and some fellowship to be had. But if you need prayer this evening, please come forward and we'll pray for you. Over to Tian.